We are aware of the incident involving DJ Williams and in the process of gathering information about that entire situation. We do not have all of that information. Certainly disappointed and do not condone that type of behavior from any of our players or anybody within our organization. And we'll have additional comment once we know all the facts and all the information about it. But at this point, that's really all we have.
So could it affect his status to play on Sunday?
Don't know that yet. I'm not, you know, until we know, I don't know all the facts on that. And this is going to involve more people than just us, but we're going to certainly try to do what's in the best interest of our organization.
Would that be a weak decision?
It could be.
Josh, how does that work when something like that happens, especially since he's had a previous history with that? Is that something you can take discipline on and the league, or is it a league?
The league, you know, we would defer to their policy on that. That's why it's there, to try to help manage these types of situations. You know, and we got to choose to do what's in the best interest for us, you know, and there's a lot of things that could go into that. You know, like I said, we're still trying to gather information. I have not spoken to DJ, and we're not, you know, we're not to the end of this process, so we'll find out as we go.
It's a second one, which is why I think it complicates it a little bit.
I'm aware of that.
Okay.
I'm aware. I don't know if he'll practice. He's not here, so I don't know if he will or not. We're going to practice here in an hour or so.
Just a quick question on that. 2:15 is your games, and you practice earlier than that. Why is that? I'm just curious.
Why do we practice earlier than that? Every day, you're saying?
Yeah.
I think it has, you know, you want there to be flow to your day, and we could start the mornings considerably later. Or drag the entire day out and just kind of sit here and do nothing. But if you practice that late in the day, you're not going to get out of the building till 6:30, 7 o'clock as a player at least. And then the coaches have certainly a lot of things to do after that. So I think the more, you know, the more you stretch it out, the more you squeeze the end of the day. And I think your players can kind of get tired and, you know, being at the facility till 7:30 at night is not necessarily ideal, I don't think.
DJ Deal, do you have a car service or something, you know, offer players, or do they have a number they can call?
They can, I mean, they have, I'm sure, more than a few means to be able to handle those kind of things.
Questions?
I mean,
chief questions? Like, got some chief questions?
Well,
Mike? No?
You don't, it seems like it's always something, you know? In this racket, the NFL business. I mean, it's not, I don't know if it's ever well-timed, but it's not what you need, is it, this type of...
No, but we're focused on the Chiefs, and we're going to be ready to go. I know that for sure. This is something that you deal with, whether it be an injury or some other thing. You deal with it, you move on, the next guy plays, and... Like I said before, the game isn't going to get postponed. We don't want to postpone it. We're ready to play on Sunday, and we'll be eager to be there at 2:15.
Any more difficult or frustrating than it is one of your captains?
It's disappointing no matter who it is. I think, you know, like I said, the behavior and the fact that we're 2 days away from a game, it's very disappointing to me, to our entire organization, and would be no matter who it was.
Do you guys try to monitor what your guys do during the week? I know a lot of guys
are. Nah, they're adults. They can, you know, it's hard to do that at this level. Nor should you have to.
Matt Castle, when I remember when you first broke him in 08, he took a lot of sacks the first half of the season, mm-hmm. Not so many the second. Now I don't think he's taken hardly any, at least going into the Raider game. What have you seen? Is that just about that biological clock they're talking about?
I think anytime you play as a quarterback, when you first biological clock, I don't know. I don't think he has a biological clock going on, but I think there's a time clock that would go off in your head, and I think the you know, the younger players, when they first start to play, I think they have to kind of develop that sense of timing. And whether that's holding the ball too long or just not giving up on a play when you should, you know, or not having that feel, that proper feel for the pocket at times, that's definitely something that you work through when you have a younger player. I know, you know, Tim had to deal with that this year in the preseason, you know, just understanding how long was too long and how long was not long enough. I think that he has definitely got a good pocket presence. He knows that he can make plays with his legs, and he's taken an opportunity when you run up the field and run past him, and he goes ahead and he attacks the defense. The fact that they have such an effective running game is obviously critical in terms of keeping people off the quarterback. They don't have to stand there and drop back pass 20 times a game. You know, they can use some play actions or other means to throw the football, but they also have such an effective running game that I think that keeps the pressure. This goes back to what we were talking about the other day with Kyle. You can take hits off your quarterback if you're not throwing it as much. So it's the same thing with sacks and hurries and all those kind of things in those statistical categories.
What are you seeing different now from Britton Colquitt that you didn't see before you cut him the first time? Situational kicking, what are you seeing that he's...
Consistency. He's always had a big leg. He's always had the ability to really just pound the ball, you know, like his brother does. And we have situations where we want that, and then there's other situations, you know, if you're kicking to a very dangerous return man, which a lot of times you are in this league, you got to be careful with giving him a 30-yard head start at your coverage unit. So we ask our punter to, you know, be perfect, if you will, 40, hanging up there 45, 48 yards, try to give us a 5-second hang time if you can, let our fast guys get down there and cover the guy. And then your net ends up being a lot more effective, which is why the consistency is such a factor in our punting. So he's just been able to do that. He's situationally, he's had some really good kicks for us this year. He's learned how to, when we plus 50, he does the Aussie style kick now. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that he's growing and improving on weekly. And he really showed his improvement over this entire year. And we're excited about what he can bring to us for the future.
Do you look at that San Francisco game as kind of an aberration, seeing you struggle?
Yeah, he had a couple. You're right. He had a couple kicks that were less than ideal. He also had some really nice ones, and he had an angle punt that was excellent, out of bounds near the half, and you know, so he's got you gotta work through those. I think with a young player at any position, he's gonna make some errors. He's not gonna be perfect, but we like the direction he's headed in. We like the things he's done for us, and we feel like he's really given our entire punt team a boost. He's also doing a much better job holding, which is a critical part of the punter's job. You know, when you're a young player, you know, and you're first coming into the league, that's a big responsibility because obviously it affects our place kicker, and he and Matt have a real good relationship on and off the field.